It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 40, the scripture reads, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Today we're speaking about salvation, how to be saved. What is salvation? Salvation is that total benefit package of deliverance, such as being saved from our sins, saved from diseases, saved from our enemies, saved from the wrath to come, and of course, saved from ourselves. This is Peter in Acts chapter 2, preaching after the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell and the church was born, individuals being told that Jesus Christ is Lord, and Peter exhorting and encouraging all those listeners to save themselves, to receive salvation in the Lord. Salvation is a word that has different meaning for different individuals, but this word salvation means to be saved, delivered from, to be salvaged, to have something or someone that is looked upon as having no value to God giving it eternal value. Much like an individual that is an antique dealer takes the throwaways from others and it becomes a prized antique for himself. We are individuals thrown away from life's experiences and life's circumstances. God has taken us into his bosom and given us eternal value, made in the image and likeness of God. Unconditional love from the Lord. And some may think themselves not in need of salvation. They may think that they are good individuals within themselves. And yes, there is a merit of truth behind the statement that there are good people in the earth, from a human standpoint, that do humanly good things, feed individuals, clothe individuals, help find and found organizations that they can support and to help find cures for disease, to help build institutions that house those that are homeless, to help those who are down and out. Those are good things from a human standpoint. However, we must look at this from the eyes of God. God desires perfection. God desires that if we were to enter into his heaven, we must be born again, must be cleansed and washed, must be perfect to receive eternal salvation. And God has made provision through his Son Jesus Christ to pay the price for our sins. The key is that individuals, first of all, have to realize that we are sinners and in need of salvation. We are sinners in many different ways. We sin by word through our tongue. We sin by thought in our mind, and we sin in deed through our actions. And there is a fourfold classification for those of us who are in need of salvation. First of all, we are sinners by act or by action. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." This being a sinner by act is in two different ways. We are sinners based on omission and sinners based on commission. Based on omission, we fail to do the right thing at the right time. This is a sin by omission, sin by act. Failing to do the right thing at the right time. Also, sinners by commission. This is doing the wrong thing at the wrong time. This is also a sin by act. All have sinned, past tense, and have come short of the glory of God. All of us will come short of the perfection and the glory of God based on our sinful actions. We're also condemned as being sinners by being sinners by nature. The Bible teaches in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We are sinners by nature. It is natural for us to be in sin. We have the tendency to sin. We are bent in the direction to sin. We have the propensity to sin. For example, individuals may not be thieves by their own ethics and morals. However, if there's an extra pen at work, a paperclip, paper, tools laying around that nobody has claimed, individuals may have the propensity, the tendency, the nature to take those things home that do not belong to them. This is the propensity, the nature, the tendency to do the wrong thing. We are sinners by very nature. Also, we are sinners by act. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10 says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." This is sinners by state. This is being a sinner by condition. Much as individuals may have a car that has a certain condition, that car is hard to start. That car may cut off when it gets warm outside. That car may not shift smoothly. There's a certain condition about that car, and it's breaking down over time. We spiritually have the same condition. We are in a state of sin, and we are breaking down each and every day in word, in thought, and in deed. There is none righteous, no, not one. And the fourth and final way that we are sinners is by imputation. This means that we have been born into sin. David says in Psalm 51, verse 5, "In sin did my mother conceive me." Much like individuals are born with a certain race, much like individuals are born with a certain eye color, it's been handed down from their parentage. It's been handed down from their forefathers and foremothers. They have received an imputation. They have received an attribute that was born into them. It has been ascribed unto them. It's the same thing with us spiritually. Just like biologically, we received attributes. We have received an imputation from our forefathers and foremothers. Spiritually, we have received attributes that are sinful. This was handed down from our spiritual parent, Adam. Adam, through his fall in the garden, received the Luciferian nature from the devil. He took on the devil's personality because he followed in the devil's footsteps. He obeyed the serpent and was disobedient, and therefore that attribute of disobedience, rebellion, that attribute that has been ascribed unto Adam, he being our spiritual parent, has allowed us to have that attribute. Biologically from our parents, spiritually going back all the way to Adam and passed down from parent to child, from parent to child, from generations to come. Now, this particular fourfold classification is not designed to bring us into condemnation. It is not designed to punish us or to make us feel unworthy. This is designed to convict us in our heart and cause us to fall on our knees and cry out, "Oh God, save me." This is designed to cause us to have healthy guilt, to cause us to run to God and say, "Oh God, what must I do to be saved?" That's why Jesus Christ told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, "Ye must be born again." "Nicodemus, I know you are a ruler of the synagogue, a master of Israel, and a master of the law. I know that individuals look up to you, Nicodemus, and I know that you know right from wrong and may know the scriptures. But Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus, you must be born of the Spirit. Nicodemus, you must be born from above. Nicodemus, you must be regenerated in your heart. Your heart is not right with God because, Nicodemus, you're a sinner by act, you're a sinner by nature, you're a sinner by state, and you're a sinner by imputation. Nicodemus, you must be born again. And this is the message to all of us, that by design, God, when he had individuals read the Old Testament law, the Old Testament law was designed to cause individuals to realize that, oh God, I am not measuring up. Oh God, I am falling short of the glory of God. Save me. And it causes individuals to run to get the blood offering back in the Old Testament, that blood offering that pointed to the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, and by faith, looking forward to the Messiah to come that would die for their sins, they were saved. Just as we, by faith, look back on the cross, they looked forward to the cross, to the promises of God that he would send the Redeemer, the Messiah, the Deliverer, the Anointed One, the Christos, to come to die for the sins of the world and be risen again. We look back on the cross to the Deliverer, the Redeemer, the Christos, the Messiah, the one who died for our sins and rose from the dead. That's why the Bible says, he that believeth not is condemned already. Yes, we must be born again. Also, that there is no other way to be saved. Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 through 9 reads as following. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So here in the Galatian church, for a quick backdrop, they started out as strong believers, but individuals, Judaizers they are called in Acts 15, came down to the region of the Galatian churches and told them that there was another way to be saved. They had told them that they must take up the law of Moses, be circumcised, and then believe on Christ. They were told that you could not be a Christian unless you became a Jew first. And this particular mindset is in the world today. Individuals thinking that I must do something first before I become a Christian. I must be a good person first. I must stop smoking first. I must do what's right first, and then I'll come to Christ. Paul said that this was heresy. This was an accursed kind of doctrine. Paul said that if an angel came with that doctrine or any other doctrine, let him be accursed. The Bible says that we are not saved by works. We are not saved by what we do or what we don't do. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We're not saved by water baptism. Water baptism is a picture of individuals who have died, the old man, buried, and then risen in new life in Christ. We are not saved by comparing ourselves one to another. We are not saved by fasting, for the Pharisees fasted and were not saved. We are not saved by taking Holy Communion, for Holy Communion is a memorial done in remembrance of his body being broken for us, paying the price for the consequences of sin, and remembering that his blood being shed for us, paying the price for the penalty of sin. Nor are we saved by praying, for the Bible says that the Pharisees loved to pray, but they did not love God, but they loved to pray. We're not saved by traditions, seniority, or church title. We're not saved by popularity, individuals that give us pats on the back and known so well in the community. We are not saved by our individual success, for the Bible says you can gain the whole world and lose your own soul. We're not saved by good works and deeds of philanthropy. For the Bible says, if I have all faith to remove all mountains and give my body to be burned, but have not charity or unconditional love, I am nothing. The Bible says we're not saved by religion or an outward show of religion. For Jesus Christ told the Pharisees, clean out the inside of the cup and platter. No, we are not saved by works. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 through 9 underscores that again as we read it. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It says it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If we were saved by works, if we were saved by communion or water baptism or good deeds or success or traditions or by praying, then in our heart of hearts, when we get to heaven, we would say, well, Lord, it's because I prayed so much. It was because I was a good person. It was because I worked so hard. That's why I'm saved. That's why I'm here. It was because I built hospitals and I built homeless shelters and I fed the hungry and clothed the naked. That's why I'm here, Lord. It's because of my good works. No, we're not saved by good works. David said it this way, I'll make my boast in the Lord. God has fixed us so that we cannot make any boasting in ourselves, but our boasting is in the Lord. It is by the grace of God that we are saved and not by any outward manifestation. We don't do good works to be saved, but as it says in verse 10, we do good works after we're saved. For the Bible says we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So, yes, we don't do good works to be saved, but we do good works after we're saved to show that there's a change in our heart. For the Bible says, you shall know them by their fruit. And yes, continuing on, all can receive salvation. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, and verse number 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Here is an altar call by the Holy Spirit and by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the church that is in heaven at that time. An invitation to all men to be saved. Jesus Christ said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, burdened down with life's experiences and life's woundedness, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus Christ's arms are open to all to come to salvation. The rich and the not so rich, white, black, brown, Jew, Gentile alike. The arms of Jesus Christ is open. American, not American. This side of town and that side of town. Uptown and downtown. This side of the railroad tracks and that side of the railroad tracks. Overseas and stateside. All those that are wounded, all those that are hurting, all those that are scratching their head, trying to find answers to life's questions. Jesus Christ's arms are open to come to him. And he said, in no wise will I cast you out. Come unto him and receive the benefits of Christ, everlasting life. Come unto him and receive the joy of Christ, the peace of Christ, the grace of Christ, all as part of a salvation benefit package. And yes, there is a way to be saved. It's as easy as A, B, and C. First of all, A, admit that we are a sinner. much like David when he was told by the prophet Nathan after David had killed Uriah the Hittite and took Bathsheba his wife. Nathan pointed his finger at David and said, "Thou art the man." And David's response was not, "No, I'm not, it's somebody else." David's response was, "No, I wasn't there, it wasn't me." David's response was not, "Well, they're all doing it too, so it can't be that bad." No, David's response was, "Oh, I have sinned against the Lord." David said, "It's me, I have done it." Like the old song poet used to sing, "It's me, O God, standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, not my father, not my brother, not my sister. It's me, O God, standing in the need of prayer." Much like the prodigal son who went out from the father's house, fell into sin, and said, "Oh, I have sinned against heaven and against my father. I will go back to my father's house." Individuals must A, admit that they are a sinner, that they are lost without the Lord Jesus Christ. They must not blame others. They must take up their own personal responsibility for the choices that they've made in their life as the Holy Spirit begins to convict, to draw, to illuminate, to let the individual know through the pricking of their conscience that they are in error with God. They must then admit. For the Bible says, "When the Holy Ghost speaketh, harden not your heart." So A is admit. B, believe. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10. This is oftentimes called the Romans road to salvation. It says in chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead. That's important because we serve a risen Savior. We don't serve an idea, or we don't serve an ethical Jesus, a moral Jesus. We serve a risen Savior who died for our sins and rose from the dead to step back and say, "I told you so." We serve a risen Savior that authenticated the cross by rising from the dead. We serve a risen Savior that's alive and able to save and give us everlasting life. It says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." So our heart is converted and bent in the direction of God, and we're believing unto righteousness. For now we're going to do the right thing in the eyes of God. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we are not ashamed to say that, "Oh God, I trust you, I love you, I openly believe in you." So this is A, admit, B, believe, in our heart of hearts, not in our head, that Jesus was just an historical figure or an ethical or a moral prophet, but that Jesus Christ is the second person of the Godhead who came down to wrap himself in a body to pay the price for our sins. For the only thing that can pay the price for our sins was perfection, was God's perfect blood. And the only way that God could shed his blood was for Jesus Christ to come down from heaven, wrap himself in body, be that perfect sacrifice that paid the price, the sin debt for the entire world, and rise from the dead and give everlasting life to all those that believe on him. A, admit. B, believe. C, confess with our mouth and into our heart. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We call him up. We say, "Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, I'm a sinner. Oh God, save me." And once an individual does that in the sincerity of their heart of hearts, then they are born again. The Bible says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new." Will all of our problems go away when we are saved? Our problems may not go away right away. But we have something different now. We have the grace of God upon our life. We have the peace of God in our hearts. We have the love of God shined upon us in our hearts and towards others. We have the joy of God based on our sins being forgiven and our guilty stains removed. We have a God that now, with a relationship through Jesus Christ, will make a way out of no way, where we can rise above our circumstances and rise above our problems. For the Bible says, all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. For the Bible says in the book of Jeremiah chapter 29, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, to give your life meaning, to give your life purpose." Verse 12, "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." This promise from Jeremiah, given to the nation of Israel upon their Babylonian captivity, that 70 years they would be free and receive this promise that Jeremiah just articulated, is the same promise to us. For the same God in the Old Testament is the same God in the New Testament. The Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And God will give our life meaning and purpose. And He will make a way out of no way. Once we become saved, born again, and then adopted into His family, the grace of God will be upon us daily as we have sweet fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from His love and kindness, I invite you to pray with me this prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. Won't you close your eyes and pray with me? Jesus, I am a sinner. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that God raised you from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life-Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.